Good morning, everybody. It's lovely to see you all this morning. People are still coming in. Just to say, I am Linda. I'm one of the elders of Welton Baptist Church. If you're new this morning, if it's your first time here, a very warm welcome to you. It'd be lovely to chat to you at the end. We have tea and coffee and pastries at the back, so it'd be lovely if you could join us for that. And we do have welcome packs as well up at the front up here, if you're new and like to know a little bit more about what we do here at Welton. And tonight we have the opportunity to meet together for Encounter, which is at the chapel at 6:30 for an hour. And Encounter is our opportunity to meet and worship. And we worship and we wait on God and we listen and we hear what God wants to say to us and we pray for one another. So it's just an extended time that's open with God. So it'd be lovely to see you if you would like to join us for that as well. And that's at the chapel tonight. Now, you might have sat on them, but you might not have. The Hebron Hall leaflet. Brilliant. Who's all been to Hebron Hall before? Rachel's hand straight up there. Yep, there's quite a few. If you want to find out any more information about Hebron Hall, and if you want specific information, Claire, can you wave at us? Claire's here today as well. So Claire, who you saw in the video, is also here if you want to find out more about booking and any other information about it. But it is just a really great time just to spend more time together, and especially through all that we've been through, just to have that opportunity again this year is great. Okay, in a little bit we're going to have some worship time, but just before that I just want to share something that I felt God put on my heart this morning, and Matt will be speaking to us a bit later on about being peacemakers. We're looking at the just different aspects of who we are and who God is, and as I was thinking about this morning I kept being reminded of the story of Jesus when he's with the disciples and he's in the boat and the storm comes up. And what's Jesus doing in the middle of the storm? He's sleeping. He's sleeping in the boat. And the disciples, who were experienced fishermen, who were used to being in the middle of storms, they began to panic because it was so bad. And they were trying everything to get it under control and to get the boat back under control. And it felt like it was the last resort that they turned to Jesus and they say, Jesus, why are you asleep? We need you right now. This would be a good time to waken up. And when Jesus wakes up, he actually gets a little bit annoyed with them. And rather than saying, well, I'm really sorry I was asleep, he says, where was your faith? And he asked them this whole thing of actually, why did you think that something would go wrong here? I'm with you in the boat. And there was something about that whole aspect of Jesus sometimes with us might feel in our situations like he's asleep. It might feel like he's not really that alert to what's going on in our lives. We may be going through stuff and saying, Jesus, don't you care? That's what the disciples said to him. Don't you care? We're about to drown. And actually, we might feel that. But yeah, Jesus was kind of saying, I'm actually here. I can't get that much closer to you. I'm in the boat. I'm in your life. I'm right beside you. But what happened was, it felt like it was a last resort of the disciples to turn to Jesus. It was a last resort, just as they were about to drown, to say, we need you now. Rather than, as a storm came up, going, Jesus, would you help us now at the beginning? And sometimes I think we can turn to Jesus as a last resort in life. Everything else is going wrong and suddenly we think, oh yeah, I must pray about this. I must take it to God. Maybe I should invite him in because it's so bad. And yet he wants to be with us and involved every step of the way. And maybe if they just called his name at the beginning, it would have been a slightly different situation. Now that's my view and my take on it a little bit. But it's just that whole thought of how much Jesus wants to be with us in everything that we're going through. And he wants to bring us to that place of peace with him because he is peace. And his peace remained throughout that whole situation. His peace didn't change. And we can have that when we draw close into him. So I just want to pray and then we're going to spend some time in worship. Father, we just want to pray that your presence would just be strongly felt this morning, that we would have that sense of your peace within us and your peace here. And for maybe for some of those people here this morning who are not feeling at peace, who are feeling tossed and moved around by all that the life is throwing at them, by the storms that are surrounding them. Lord, we just pray that we would remember to call on your name, just that simple name of Jesus, help. Jesus, be with me. Jesus, show me the way. And I thank you, Lord, you are quick to be at our side. You are quick to answer when we call on you and how much you want to be involved in every part of our lives. So Father, we just want to give you this time this morning. We want to ask that you would speak to us. We want to ask, Lord, that we would be open to hearing your voice this morning. And Lord, that you would take us that one step closer, one step nearer to you. And Father, that we would be able to experience your peace to a greater depth this morning, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Matt is going to come and speak to us. I'm just going to pray as Matt comes up. Father, I just want to thank you for Matt. I want to thank you for how you have gifted him. I want to thank you that he has such a heart for us and such a heart for you. And Father, I pray, Lord, that you would bless him now, Lord, as he speaks, that as he speaks from your heart, as he has caught something of what he wants to share and what you want to share with us, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would give us open minds and open hearts just to hear your word this morning and to receive it, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh, man. Thanks, Linda. So good to hear testimony and stories, isn't it? I'm going to come on to that in a little bit. But to start with, I'm continuing our series on the Beatitudes, and I've got a little bit of a quiz for you, okay? I'm going to show you three pictures, and I want you, no shouting out, because I know what some of you are like. Okay, I just want you to kind of work out what the connection is between these three pictures, okay? So let's have a look at the first one, if we can. That's a relief. That's always a relief when the picture comes up. Okay, so there's your first one, okay? Here's the next one. Okay, and then the third one. Okay, anybody got any idea what the connection could be between these three things? War. Okay, I'll give you the clues in the name. It's something to do with... Ah, he's good. Peacemaker. Okay, let's see the first one up again. This bomber plane was built between 1949 and 1959, longest wingspan ever of an aircraft ever built, 70 meters, and it's the first bomber capable of carrying nuclear weapons without any modifications to it. Good news, that one in. Okay, let's have a look at the next one. Anyone know this one? I was expecting Mike Howell to kind of get this one, not sure, okay. It is the Colt Peacemaker, yeah, designed in 1872, and it is popular with ranchers, lawmen, and outlaws alike, and now a bit of a collector's item. Don't know if Mike's got one of those, not in you. Yeah, you have. Ooh, it's impressive, isn't it? Okay. Finally, we've got a ship, and guess what the ship's called? No, it's called the Princeton. That'd be too easy, wouldn't it? but it did carry an absolutely massive cannon on there, a huge thing which weighed over 12 tons, and the cannon was called the Peacemaker, and it infamously exploded when it was actually out being demonstrated. So this theme of peace through violence carries on, doesn't it? It carries on. Any Star Wars fans? Is Paul Marvin still in here? Okay, a peacemaker in Star Wars. Testing you now. What's the Oh, I thought you'd know this one. Let's have the Star Wars picture up because I like this picture. Okay, the peacemaker in Star Wars, not him. It's a gunship that the Jedi use, apparently, armed with lasers. And then think of more recent movies. Let's move on from that one. That's so distracting. There's the DC franchise, and there's the Peacemaker in that, and he's described as a violent vigilante who believes in achieving peace at any cost, no matter how many people he has to kill for it in the process. Okay, 30 seconds. Turn to the person next to you if you don't mind, if you feel comfortable. Just tell them, what does the word peacemaker bring to mind for you? What do you think of when you think of a peacemaker? Okay, that's a good 30 seconds. Some good, Not pacemaker, Chris. Peacemaker, all right. The beatitude we're looking at today is in Matthew 5, verse 9. It's called, Blessed are the peacemakers. Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they would be called children of God. Now, I'm not sure about you guys, but sometimes I have a bit of difficulty with the beatitudes in that there's so much packed into these short few lines that we kind of quickly draw our own conclusions about what each one means, don't we? So peacemaker, when we skim through it, I guess we could think, blessed are the peacemakers. Well, that's somebody who kind of likes to keep the peace a little bit. That's probably most of us. That's all of us. So that's this morning's talk done. If we can go home. It's good. We've got a bit of time this morning to go a bit deeper. Jesus wasn't talking about or thinking about using physical violence. He wasn't thinking about peace. You've got to fight, do everything. You've got to fight for physical violence. The night Jesus was arrested before his crucifixion, he said, "All who draw the sword will die by the sword. Do you think I cannot call on my Father and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels?" That's kind of 70,000 angels, I think. But that doesn't mean that there isn't a battle involved in making peace. It doesn't mean we're all meant to just be passive as we seek to make peace. There's some serious battling to be done. We're called to be peacemakers, not peace lovers. There's a real danger that in attempting to just keep the peace, we only make ourselves problems further down the line. This beatitude encourages us not to passively accept it when we're aware of damaged or hurting relationships, but to be really proactive in making peace, even if it involves a struggle. The Jewish teachers of Jesus' time believed that the highest goal someone could achieve was to establish right relationships between people. That is what Jesus is trying to get over to his followers. This is a high priority. As peacemakers, we're not expected to simply avoid conflict. We aim to work to solve disputes, to reconcile differences, and to form and build relationships. This privilege of being a peacemaker is for those who are at peace with others. Matthew 5 says, "If you're offering your gift at the altar and there you remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First, go and be reconciled to your brother. Then come and offer your gift." The ending of hostility and refusing to have conflict is not necessarily peace, is it? We don't just kind of stop something and that's it. We've got peace now. Two people may stop entering into serious argument, but then they kind of just retreat for days and maybe weeks or years. And there's just this stony silence. They're not friends. They've just refused to speak to one another. Peace is a powerful, positive attribute. It is a matter of the right kind of relationships. To be at peace with others, we can't insist that they meet us halfway, even though that's what you hear so often. Peacemakers reach out, take the initiative. The concern is not who is to blame, but rather, how can reconciliation and peace be attained? I want to be quite clear on one thing here, though. This doesn't mean anyone should put themselves in a position where they're at risk of any kind of harm. We need to prioritize our safety and seek out the right support and advice available, whatever context it is that you're in. Okay, I wonder how many of you have ever done some kind of personality test. Stick your hand up, give me a little wave. You've done it. Okay, that's good. That's most people. Myers-Briggs is a well-known one. They're designed to work out the strengths and potential weaknesses of your character and to help consider how that best works with other, sometimes very different character types. So Jo was away on the counseling course she's doing this last week and took part in one of these tests called Enneagram. I always think that's an unfortunate name, Enneagram. Sounds like a medical procedure more than anything else, but that's what it was. And these tests are funny because I think the majority of people may be a bit skeptical or fearful about taking part. 7 or 8 years ago, before I'd done one, that would absolutely have been me. I was super skeptical. But actually, everyone I know who's done one comes away with this sort of saying something on the lines of, "I never realized that about myself. It's so spot on. I am such a number 7, or a high T and a low J, or whatever it is on that particular thing that you're doing." I love this picture in the PowerPoint. Couldn't resist putting that one, because that's the face that people have as they're doing it. They go, "I never knew it about myself." And I thought it's really interesting that one of the character types in Enneagram is peacemaker. I'm not going to do it justice here. You can chat to Jo. She would love to tell you about it. And it's just interesting for me that being a peacemaker is one of the character types that they've got in the Enneagram. A peacemaker is somehow part of your makeup. And with it, there's a whole load of strengths, but also a whole bunch of vulnerabilities. There's a need for support from other personality types and consideration for character traits that might just grind your gears. That's the good thing about these personality things. They make you realize, oh, that's why that person annoys me a little bit. It's because we're so different. And it's great that it recognizes people are somehow built this way, and it's a really good tool. I think Jesus' teaching to be a peacemaker encourages us, all of us, though. It's not enough for us just to say it's somebody else's character to be a peacemaker, but it's not really for me. For some of us, being a peacemaker comes more naturally if that's your personality type. But for others of us, it may be something that takes effort if our personality type is such that we kind of enjoy a bit of conflict rather than peace. A peacemaker works hard to create peace in others. The Message version of Romans 14, verse 19 says, "So let's agree to use all our energy in getting along with each other. Help others with encouraging words. Don't drag them down by finding fault." It's a great verse, isn't it? This is why we're so keen to make time and space to share stories like we were this morning of what God's been doing. It's incredible the number of people, sometimes myself included, who will say, "I was going to say something, but," insert your own comment there, "you know, I was just a bit too scared," or somebody else jumped in, "something stopped me." I really want to encourage you this morning, take these opportunities. If God's given you a little nudge, if he's given you something, do share it. Whether that's saying something in front of everyone, or whether it's just to somebody close to you, or a text message to someone. I absolutely love it when someone says they're praying for me. It's incredible, isn't it? First of all, I'm so encouraged that people care enough. I really am. To think, oh, that person actually spent some time praying for me today, that they would stop and think for me. So God's spoken to me before I even get a verse or a picture, just as soon as somebody says to me, "Oh, I've been praying for you." But then I'm encouraged by the scripture that they bring or the picture they bring, whatever it is. Sometimes it can be really profound and you think, "Oh my goodness, that is exactly what I needed to hear this morning." Other times it's less profound, but you know what? It's always good because it's from the Bible. And so, you know, it doesn't have to be profound. Sometimes it's just good to get a bit of scripture. And I don't remember anyone ever misusing a verse and just trying to have a dig at me to impart some kind of bit of their wisdom, their own wisdom. I would encourage you, don't ever do that. You know, let's listen to God. When we give people encouragements, that's what it is. It's not an encouragement to do what I think you should do. It's an encouragement from God. Yeah, sharing stories of what God is doing and verses or words of encouragement is a really significant way we share the peace we have with God with others. And we all need it, don't we? I think we all need it. So peacemaking is not a nice idea. It's an activity. It's not just something that you are, it's something that you do. This is also shown through the second part of the verse, which again is easy to skim over. They will be called children of God. Blessed are the peacemakers. They will be called children of God. And I really want to push into these few words this morning, a few words that we're probably a little bit over familiar with. If we pause and get hold of them this morning, they can be truly life transforming. Two things I want to pick up that they say to us. First, they don't only tell us about the relationship we can have with God as his children, which we'll come to in a bit. But it's intended to show how when we are peacemakers, we're relating to God's character. We're showing what God is like, doing the same work he is doing. God is the ultimate peacemaker. An example comes to mind of the disciples, James and John, who are nicknamed the Sons of Thunder. I always loved that they were nicknamed the Sons of Thunder. I wonder what they were like. It just reflected their character a bit. We are sons and daughters of God, sons and daughters of the peacemaker. It's got to be part of our character as we reflect who God is. The second thing it means for me to be children of God is that we can be at peace about our relationship with God. The right we have to be called children of God came at a high price. It was a real battle of spirit, heart, and mind for Jesus to go to the cross and to die because he loved us so much. John 1:12 says, "Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." I'm just going to read that again because it's so incredible, isn't it? "Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." Isn't that just incredible? I felt prompted to really encourage us with that this morning. There's nothing wishy-washy about the face, the fact that we are the face. There's nothing wishy-washy about the fact that we are children of God. If we're sorry for the messed up bits of our lives, the things we've done to hurt ourselves, to hurt God, to hurt each other, if we're prepared to put our full trust in Jesus and welcome him, we don't just scrape by because we've gone to church enough or lived a good enough life or fingers crossed somehow done the right things. No, because of Jesus, the ultimate peacemaker, we are definitely beyond any doubt, no matter what any accusations our minds throw at us or other people might throw at us, we are children of God. Wow. The fact is that none of us are good enough without Jesus. So let's not kind of dwell on not being good enough. Enjoy the peace of knowing we live in God's grace. Listen to these brilliant verses from Romans. Therefore, since you have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. It's time to pray this morning. Now, I say that like everyone feels ready to pray, but I realize that we could all be in different places with prayer. It could be you've never prayed before, you've never spoken to God, so you might be wondering what to say. I really want to encourage you, if you ever feel like that, God is someone who loves listening to us. He longs for us to talk to him. He longs to meet with his children. So just talk to him because he's there and he wants to listen. The other thing this morning, if you've never really understood before that Jesus loves you, that you can have complete peace knowing that you are a child of God, I would love to pray for you for that also. And if that's a difficult concept, a difficult thing to get in your mind because maybe a relationship you've had with a dad, then do come and chat to me or Linda this morning. We'd love to do that with you too. Finally, if there's a relationship that you would like to bring peace to, I would really love to pray for you that you would be able to get breakthrough with that this morning. Okay, I'm just going to pray as Linda comes back up. Lord God, thank you that you are the ultimate peacemaker. And you call us to be like you. Father, just aware this morning as I've been talking, we'll all be thinking about some relationship where maybe there's a struggle. Father, would you bring it to our hearts that we can see breakthrough, that you can bring change, Lord. And Father, for any of us who are feeling like we're just not good enough to be a child of God, we're never going to make it. Or for anyone who thinks because they don't understand their Bible quite well enough, or they don't spend enough time praying. Lord, for anyone who's got something from their past, Lord, some hurt, Lord, something they've done. Lord Jesus, would you bring peace to them? Remind them this morning that if they know you, they are children of God. Nothing can take it away that we live in this incredible grace, Lord. Amen. Amen.